record. Okay, so here we go. I want you guys to share with me, what are some of the ideas that you got? And here's the thing, I'm going to talk less in this breakout because I want you to brainstorm and I want you guys to help each other brainstorm. Does this make sense? Share with me some of the ideas that were just really popping for you. Okay.
Hey, Sandy, before we start on that, do you have all those questions written down somewhere?
You know what? I can do that for you.
That would be helpful for future as well. I was trying to write them down as we went and trying to brainstorm at the same time. And
yes,
that would be handy for the future. So,
okay. That will be my assignment. I shall do that this week for you.
There you go. Cool, cool.
What a great idea.
That's your next step. There you go.
It'll be part of the set. Bonus. You ask for it, you receive.
There we go. The one kind of big idea that's popping out at me from what I did get in that kind of distracted brainstorming is fierce feminine and following God. I'm thinking it may be a title. Because I also got kind of, I don't know, a tagline, a subline, whatever you want to call it, understanding God's role and design for women. And I've got kind of a list that just kind of started flowing underneath it, basic training, things like disciplines and prayer. And I've been doing a series for my blog on the prayers of Paul and so the first one is in Ephesians, and I'm looking at kind of the background of Ephesians, and I'm saying, oh, this book is like, this is my basic training manual. It's a book of Ephesians. So I'm kind of, that may go in there. So that kind of popped out. Things that I've learned recently that are kind of, they're basic, they're foundational to who we are as Christians and how God created us, but I was not taught that. Mm-hmm. For mm-hmm. instance, the spirit man and the whole body, soul, spirit parts of our being. I was taught the soul and spirit are the same thing. I was raised in a church that believed that Holy Spirit is no longer active. And so those are new things that, you know, I wish I knew those. But those should be basic and foundational.
Mm-hmm.
To a new believer, those are some of the first things you should learn is those sorts of things. And then I got into, you know, parenting, mentoring, and thinking about mentors in the Bible. You have Ruth and Naomi, you've got Moses and Joshua, Esther and her uncle, whose name I can never remember. And so looking at those kind of things. So yeah, that's kind of where I went. And then my big thing right now is, how do I turn this big idea of a community of mentoring and this title that I now have, what is it supposed to be? You know, so that's kind of where I'm at right now. So.
I like it.
Those are crazy today.
Okay. I like that. One thing I didn't catch was your subtitle, would you say? Understanding
God's role and design for women.
Wow. Okay. Janelle, I'm going to let you jump in.
Well, I made a long list of different articles and things that I can speak to, and I can come back to that. The thing that came out to me in all that I've been through in the last 6-8 weeks is, as God has been bringing this to the forefront of my heart, I've thought of it, I guess, a little bit disconnected from my passions and gifts and abilities, kind of. And so when you said that, you know, the passion, the things that I do as a worship leader, and in, I guess I'm in that transition of what I do in the church house, I could also do, you know, in a virtual community. But connecting people with God, you know, from my experience, the trusting him in everything, you know, I love teaching God's word. I've been teaching a women's Bible study for several years. And then we were a year and a half ago, pastoral transition. And so my teaching class was put on the sideline. And then of course, COVID this year, put that on the sideline just because, you know, it's up and going, but mentoring and worship. So those are my passions, my gifts and abilities, administrating and organizing and encouraging and teaching. And, you know, I mean, that's in the tax office job that I've been in for 17 years that I'm in my last 9 days this office, and God has blessed, and it's awesome and amazing the job I'm moving on to. You know, just that I'm not sure, we'll see once I get into the new job, but I mean, I've been running the office. The boss has been off site for 4 years. And she does her thing, and we pass work back and forth, but you know, I've been administrating and the face of the business and prioritizing the many different avenues that work come in, and you know, a co-employee, you know, just making sure everything's done when it's supposed to be done and how it's supposed to be done. And even, see, I've been doing that at church for years, administrative coordinator, liaison between, you know, pastoral staff and the volunteer staff. And, you know, so who knows where God's going to take that. Because even at church with this new leadership, that's not so much needed. And so, yeah, I'm just on the cusp of, okay, God, what are you doing? Where are we going this? So, you know, the anointing, the thing, the hope, you know, in everything, that message of hope, because people need that. Mm-hmm. We all get one thing I realized I didn't talk about before, depression. Oh, my Lord. The depression that comes, and everyone struggles with that in different degrees, in different seasons of mm-hmm. life. And to have been there, taking medication one time because it was needed. Mm-hmm. The next time when my husband died, it's the first thing my doctor wanted to do. And this, no. If I can sleep, I'll take a sleeping pill. Sleep. I can get through. God is teaching me and will help me manage. So I've done it both ways. Yeah, just all those multiple articles from what God has helped me to overcome. And so,
okay.
Excited about breaking those out.
Okay. All right. So first, let's work on Mandy and let's help develop what this looks like. Okay. So she said, fierce feminine and following God. Mandy. That right there, how do you feel about that, Janelle? Does that hit you like it hits me? It's got power.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
I think it's something too that, you know, going back to how I was raised and how I was taught, women don't teach in the church. They don't lead in the church. But that's not what you see in the Bible when you start looking at the women that God used. And it's, you know, Old Testament and New Testament. If you look at Paul's letters, almost every single one has a greeting to a woman who was leading in the church in some capacity.
Yes.
You know, I think that women are actually a special target of Satan because of things, and we need to be prepared to fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the mama bear protecting her cubs. You know, I mean, you look at nature. I love animals. You talk about your mundane and what you love to do. One of my hobbies is wildlife photography. My dream is to go, you know, to Africa and photograph the animals, the lions and stuff. But I think about, you know, you look at a lion pride. The females are the ones who go out and do the hunting.
Yeah.
You know, the male lions, they only roar to intimidate the other male lions.
That's good, girl.
They will fight when they are cornered, but the primary defenders of the pride are the females. Uh-huh. And you see that in the bears. You see that in so many other animal species that it's like, yeah, there's, why would he make animals that way and us another way? I mean,
he hasn't.
And it doesn't fit, but that is how I was raised. So the fierce kind of stuck out. I think it kind of flows out of that. You guys were both there on Thursday when I talked about that vision that I had with the women warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. It started as fierce and feminine, and I'm like, but it needs to be more than that, because we go fierce and feminine and we get feminism, and that's not right either.
Yeah, I like it. And following God, I think that zones it into the real purpose. And to me, it establishes what the word says. You're right. You know what's funny? You'll love this. With what you just said, one of the things that has been one of my pains is from the time I was a little girl, I knew I had a calling. Literally, I was 8 years old when I actually had my first calling. And my answer was this: wherever you lead, whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to minister to, I'm here, God. But I didn't have a place. There's not, I mean, I grew up in one denomination, and I then was married and, actually was a heretic joining the other denomination. And then even now I'm non-denominational, but, and part of it is because of some of the false teaching in the denominations I was in. And it was a big issue because it left me nowhere to serve. It left me nowhere to be. And so in my view, one of the things that I was thinking, and who knows where God is going to take this. I have to do a major thesis at the end of my, master's. And then of course, you know, with doctorates, what you do, but anyway, one of the things I've thought, I actually changed it on writing about kingdom when I realized that's rewriting the Bible, the whole thing. But there's a part of me just to catch you back, you know, catch your back there on that one. When I started looking at women in ministry, it's also the whole Bible. It is the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the enemy, he's always, you're right, he has attacked women. And he wants, like, feminism to me is just a counterfeit. You know, it's kind of like, remember when Jesus was tempted right after he came out of the wilderness? The enemy was only offering him what he already had. Can you imagine the devil thinking he's so special that he could trip up God incarnate, God who created everything, and he could trip him up by offering him a kingdom that he already is King of Kings, Lord of Lords? What silliness. But then he does the same thing with our identity and our calling, our purpose. He does the same things. I love what you're doing there, because that steps in on a few things that I heard you say earlier. And, you know, I heard you talking about, first of all, what the church, they've left you. Like, and I'm sorry, I'm not dinging on the church. Please understand. I'm just calling out problems that are real. I believe in the local church. However, I also believe we are the local church. And I believe we have to get past these mindsets where we've had some false teaching and call it out and then teach what God really says. And I love this because being fierce, you know what's funny? I think when women aren't what they should be, the church isn't what the church should be. Mm. Because you know, Proverbs 31, if we were going to properly exegete it, it's actually an acrostic for like the ABCs of what godly womanhood is, or what womanhood means, but it can also be a description of the church, because the church is designed to be all of that too. The church, I mean, it's not feminizing men or emasculating men. It's talking about mankind. God sees us as partners with him. That's the picture. It's a mystery of the marriage, but he sees us in relationship with him. And as a result, there are certain things he sees us as. And one of the first things coming out of that first verse there about the virtuous woman, the word virtue doesn't mean goody two shoes, quiet. Thank Jesus. that word virtuous is like a mighty warrior. It's like being fierce. It's what you're talking about. She's fierce. She fights. She fights for her groom. Like we're here. If we really could get a picture of what our groom is doing right now, that goes back to my message, doesn't it? Of prepare the bride. Okay. If we could get a picture that, I mean, okay, like if someone were to come and be lying about your husband right now, you would have something rise up, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You would have something rise up. And if he said, this is what I would like for you to do while I'm gone. Oh, you do it.
Yeah.
No doubt. You got his back. And so I feel like that some of this we have missed. And I love that you're saying fierce and feminine. You're right. It's beautiful to be a woman. I would not even want to be a man. I'm sorry, guys. But following
and
God.
That's coming from the world's biggest tomboy.
Yeah.
I'm a high school athlete. I'm happy out in the woods covered in mud. In fact, one of my nicknames throughout high school was Muddy, because I was the school's goalkeeper for the soccer team. And we played this game on a field of, I mean, it was literally 3 inches of mud. Well, you're the goalie, you're rolling around in it to stop the ball. I was head to toe mud by the end of that game. And one of the dads of one of my teammates started calling me Muddy, and it stuck for 3 years in high school. I'd be walking through the halls. Now, mind you, my dad was the principal. My mom was the guidance counselor and the Spanish teacher in the school. I'd be walking through the halls. Hey, Muddy, how you doing?
That's funny.
And he was old school near me as Muddy. but that doesn't mean, because I was an athlete, does not mean that I am less female, that I am less feminine.
See, you know, I think there's a battle strong in that too. Yeah. There's a battle in that too. We think that we can't do certain things. Yeah. I love it. That's good. Mm-hmm. And then following God, I think you, okay. So what do you think? What do you think this is going to be? What are your thoughts? Where are you leaning?
I think it could go so many different ways. I've kind of done some brainstorming before today, just on what I'm supposed to be doing in general. And I kind of have this vision of an online community for women. And honestly, going all the way down to like teen girls and trying to set up multi-generational like Bible study groups, kind of like what we're doing with the book study that you're doing right now, Cindy, but
yeah,
intentionally trying to get people from all different seasons of life. And when I say generations, I don't necessarily mean Gen X, Gen Y, you know, defined by specific years. I'm talking seasons of life, because until we're dead, there's always someone who's gone before us who can share their experiences. And there's always someone coming after us that needs what we've already learned, because if we're willing to share what we know, what we've learned the hard way, it's easier for them and they can go on to do greater things than what we're doing. But I think as far as title, I think this might be my book title.
I think it can definitely be a book title.
Maybe a book title coupled with something else.
Yeah, because I think this, you know, when you said this can go a lot of different places, I think that can be any. Okay, and I want to also just tell you this. This is my thoughts. Any idea that I have gotten can take on forms. Our mm-hmm. method is not what I literally wrote on this last night. Methods are not what God uses. In fact, people just don't care about our methods. They change. So there's some people, I always recommend this. You're going to hear this a bunch of different times and a bunch of different things I teach. I always recommend that an idea repurposes, always repurposes. And so don't be surprised. And what do I mean by that? I'm not trying to just look at ways to get money. That's a false idea. What I'm saying is that some things reach some people. Like, okay, today, I know that there are people that are going to do this on DIY. They didn't really care so much for the Grouch Coke, the majority. Like, there are a lot of people that signed up for it as a set. And I was like, do you not know? You get in a group coaching intensive that you could come and get your idea hashed out personally, not me preaching at you. I'm going to give you ideas and I'm going to teach, but I don't want this to be about Cindy, because there's stuff with Janelle will pull some things out of you and you'll pull some things out of Janelle. Mm. And what I really would love to see is us having breakouts where we put people in groups of three and then we toss it up and put people in other groups of three and so on and so forth. That's where some of the things will be in the future. And I hope that when people listen to the replays, they go, oh, I cannot believe I missed free coaching. You know, I can't believe it. But see, I like it. I do a lot of personal coaching, but I like the group. There's a dynamic there that it's not just Cindy saying, oh, I believe in your idea. It's also other people validating. Yep. Your idea and giving you some, they're tapping in, they're helping you understand. Like, they can ask you questions that I may miss. I've seen it happen before when we've done different things that we've done. So what I'm thinking though, that I want to share with you is like, okay, this is going to be a DIY. It's also a group coaching moment, but this idea, could you see a million places I could go with this? Like, you just asked me for me to put those questions into a sheet. So actually, that could almost be an action guide, which I may do it as an action guide for you, because I think that might would work best. But see, then it becomes almost like a set. Do you see? Like a teaching set. Mm-hmm. It could mm-hmm. be like a whole right. summit. This could be a summit on taking your idea and putting it in action. Do you see? But your thing here could be like a book. But let me just say this. Your book is still... like each of the different ideas, when we start to break
three
these
books? Three books?
Well, serious. Each, like, you can only hit a high point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Think mm-hmm. about, okay, let me take you back to notebooking. When I did notebooking, for example, I wrote the book, I wrote Language Arts the Easy Way. There was a chapter on notebooking, and people kept asking me more and more questions about notebooking that it became a book. But then people were like, hey, what are the sheets like that you're using for your kids? And I'm like, they're nothing big. So I put the little printouts into little printables and put that out. Then they were like, do you have that as a set to where I can find them all together? Yeah. You know, and what we did, all of those products started developing into a product line. And that's how businesses build. In other words, that's how, like, and that's where you start hearing, like, when you produce something, people will say something else here. And so here's where I'm going with this. When I'm thinking of this, like, sometimes books are big. But you know what is even bigger on notebooking? Believe it or not, even though that is a very tangible notebook, you know what sells the most about notebooking are the workshops where I just teach mm-hmm. about it. I help them understand, help them overcome. So here's where I'm thinking, like, from this idea, I like your book idea. and I think it's excellent. But I also like, I would love to see on this even developed into maybe, these are my thoughts. You could develop it into a retreat, you know, that could cover a series of retreats that could cover different aspects of being a fierce feminine and following God. You could take it, and it could be online events. It could be the membership you're talking about. It could be e-courses. The method is not where we're leaning as much as getting that message and developing the message. And then you're going to have people that are going to ask you a little bit more like, wow, I'm feeling really weak. I need to learn. What do you mean by fierce? And it's going to take you even deeper. Or maybe you have something that goes under that category and it gets deeper in that area. Feminine, you know, that it's okay. It might even tie in some of your things that you're doing. You know, you were asking in the discussion, like how to tie everything in. I think everything ties in, but oftentimes it's a matter of not all at once. Like Proverbs 31, who would think she would do all those things? People read that and they automatically put it as a to-do list.
Right.
And yet this is a life.
One day.
It's a life. It's a movement. It's a message. It's a ministry. You know what I mean? Not in that order. Message, ministry, movement. But I see this as that. I like the idea of a community where you're developing this, because then you can bring them in with some of your Bible studies, the things that God's giving you, the, you know, all the passions of your heart. What do you think about that, Janelle? What do you think
of her? Yeah, I concur. And I'm new at all this, Brian, Mandy. New. But I see, don't limit, don't box it into a book. You know, it feels like a brand.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
Book. It's something that everything flows out of, because, you know, from your story that you shared, you know, that this is your passion. And so that each part of the work God has for you to do will flow out of teaching and mentoring how to be fierce, how to be godly, feminine women of God, and then following after God, you know, for the passions in the young girls' lives as they're learning who they are in God and learning their missions and mentoring elders, mentoring mothers to mentor their children. And so, yeah, don't limit it to a book. Of course, I'm also speaking from the point of a book scares me to death. Because it's so big and so.
But if it's a book, I can write it and I don't have to speak.
That's okay too. That's okay. Although, don't be afraid to speak either. Man, I think you're an excellent speaker. And you know what? Here's my thought too. You don't even have to speak, you can just talk. But you know what? If that's not where you're feeling led, that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I personally, you know, Felice Gerwitz tried 20 years ago to get me to do video when I was skinny. I was on podiums all the time. And I was like, I don't want to be on a video for nothing, you know? And now I'm going, oh, this is a joke, God. This is a joke. This is the only way we can talk now. But you know what? I love this, because one of the things I immediately felt whenever I first went live with Zoom, and it was like, seriously, I was praying about it. But the thing I felt was such a connection with other people, that it wasn't just me talking. Even if I could hear people's voices in some of the formats I had before, it wasn't just me talking, and I felt like I could really do community. So I think that community is going to be your heartbeat, you know, that connection in the community. And if you don't want to do any, if you want to write, girl, you are a powerful writer.
Thank you.
So writing's good, but right. you're also powerful as a talker. I love
point
it.
Noted.
and you can stuff that back down. Just write it somewhere in those brainstorms.
Cindy says.
Cindy said, when you hear it, yep, thou shalt want and speak. I love it. But you know, here I see all of the things kind of coming in from your life too, like the trainings and the disciplines. Mm-hmm. All of that has a space there for you. Mm-hmm. I would love to see you tap into that and really develop that idea. And we'll come back to that after we, you know, get into the next session, and that'll kind of be your homework. But I love it. Like your basic training, that's cute. I could even see you having breakouts, you know, for your community where maybe you could set up, like I noticed that I was playing around with Facebook last night, which is not my first love anymore. I'm really struggling with Facebook, and you guys know my love hate, because they keep trying to censor me, you know, and not about the politics. It's about the Jesus stuff that they keep censoring. And so that kind of makes me go, But anyway, one of the things I noticed is that the group can do, like, people can schedule breakouts with each other, like online coffee or online like this.
Yeah.
They can do that in our group. I didn't even know that. I set it up. I changed the format to social learning for my group and learning units, and we can have like breakouts like that. It was really interesting to me. But you know, if you were to have setups where maybe they could have, you could even in here, like in Zoom, you could do one thing. As I saw with one of my challenges I did recently, you can either predetermine breakouts, or you can just tell it to scramble and put so many in a room. And so they can have breakout rooms where they could connect. So like your community could do something like that, where I think there's a benefit to having multi-generations or people from all different walks of life, or even having it choose for them, like put three in a room. I think there's a power to three, you know, because what they did with us, that you saw me do this with some of my challenges so far this year, we did some triads. Mm-hmm. And the point was, like, one person being on the hot seat, being coached, one person coaching, the other person listening. And the person that was listening would come back and they would give feedback to the coach and the coachee, but they would, everybody would then flip flop after 20 minutes and do the next person being coached, the next person being coaching, and the other person being a listener. And it just kept flip-flopping. I think there's a power to that. And with what you're saying here with this, you could have topics that were discussed, some basic training topics that they could get into some triads that were multi-generational, or that would help them get to know some people who are different from them, or that are in the group, that maybe it would pull everybody out of their little shells, you know, where nobody could just be a fly on the wall. Everybody could be in community.
Right.
If we had a larger group, I would have gotten it private down to what we've got right here with us three. I would have done this, because I would have thought that it would be very important. It's hard to go beyond this number, actually. So it kind of, God just kind of worked it out today. But you know, there's a power to being able to sit and just like each person get a turn, you know? So that might would help with that connection and them developing some relationships, maybe having some prayer times or whatever it is that you feel like that they need. Are there any other thoughts that are swarming in your mind that you're not sure on what? Any other ideas or anything?
I'm still just stuck on the, I'm not sure what is supposed to be next, but it sounds like we're getting to that later. So.
Okay.
Okay. I won't burst your outline here.
So. You're so awesome. Okay, Janelle, what about you? let's talk about your ideas again. Let's go back into your ideas. Now, I know your ideas, we were kind of talking about that hope, and tell me more about what you're thinking.
So my main thing for the last years, and so my hottest passion right now is hope for widows. you know, walking them through all the things that you feel stuck and nobody knows unless they've been there. And so just to help, help through the pain, the grief, the aloneness, the depression that comes, the questions of why and, and giving hope through God's word in the midst of all of those things. Some of this will come more too as I dig deeper, because for the last month or so, as I've been tiptoeing around and doing a little bit of avoidance because of my own pain and grief that has started to resurface. And God took care of that last weekend at a revival I went to. And so he's going to help me through all that like he always has. But, you know, the different things that come up, the things you don't expect. I read shortly after Frankie died, I'm reading a lot of things online about grief. And I was flabbergasted when I read that, you know, your people, who was a part of your people when you were a couple, will no longer be your people. And disappointment. And I started seeing that play out. Now, the people who really were my people, they're still my people, but so few. So few. Oh, yeah. And the identity, that's the thing. I need to write that down.
Yeah, there you go.
Identity, because that was the biggest thing. I remember the first Sunday evening, I don't know, within the first couple of months, I was married to the associate pastor. And so when somebody went to the hospital, somebody left our service and went to the emergency room during that particular service. And when the service was over, pastor and his wife rushed over to the hospital and I drove away crying. Realized I was no longer the assistant pastor's wife. And so, yes, the identity, you know, no longer a wife, no longer a minister's wife. And the identity crisis that happens when you lose a part of who you've been. That's something that hasn't crossed my mind until just now. So that's
I like it. There's your topic. Write it down.
Yep. That's a big thing.
That same thing I think happened with divorce for me. I remember sitting down, going to my website, is a long story, but I remember sitting there looking at my bio going, oh my goodness, who am I? And I turned my computer off and just cried. It was a very, very that was one of my most difficult moments. And it was also one of my biggest lessons. It's part of why I teach a lot now on who am I? I ask that question, who are you? Who am I? You know, and act surprised when you see one of my books. And I laugh, Mandy, because this may actually be a, this is why it's not a book yet. I'm just going to tell you. It's because I think it's so much more. It's finding me, and it's lessons for the lost person, because I found that I was just lost at that point. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I mean, like, I was Baptist. How could I have a ministry being divorced? I was already pushing it being a girl. And so, you know, what was funny is during the divorce, I thought I was so messed up, so never going to be able to do it again. And at one of the hardest parts in the divorce, and that's got its own story, at one of the hardest parts, I was asked to speak for the women's shelter. And it was seriously one of my moments that only God could orchestrate that moment. Because what you're talking about with identity, Janelle, imagine me going, this is a divorce. It's got that stigma. You know what I mean? And it was not what I wanted. It wasn't my will. And they asked me to speak there. And let me back up. I always felt like I preached to the choir. you know, because my primary calling is to develop, you know, leadership in the church, and so, or in the body of Christ. And so I always felt like it was pretty easy, but there's a part of me that's like, I wish I could lead people to Christ. You know, I feel like I'm, you know, I want from there all the way through. And it was like this little thing I put off in my little dusty little spot in my heart. And that night they asked me specifically not to do just any topic, just to do whatever God gave me for my quiet time that day. And I was like, huh, you talk about nervous the night before. I was like, God, you're going to have to come through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do tomorrow, but I ask you to speak to me. And he gave me that morning. It was so powerful. That morning he woke me up and he said, I'm your good husband. I always take care of you. Because see, I was sitting there going, are you going to help me? Are you going to tell me what to do today? I got to speak. This is a big crowd, you know, and these women are hurting, God. And, you know, it was like, he was like, I'm your good husband. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I never leave you. I never forsake you. I'm faithful to you. I provide for you. And it was, okay, so that's what he gives me. And I go and I share that night. And God, it was like what he did in the room was amazing. The response, because those women who needed to know that God was their good husband, better than the man that had abused them, better than the situations that they had got themselves into, and he loved them so much. It was just a beautiful moment. And so anyway, long story short, the identity thing, big, because I think we get so wrapped up in what we do and the roles we have that we don't have the identity that God has. It goes, but I think identity is a big question a lot of people have right now, because you have a culture too. Let me just share this with you. The postmodernism, many in the culture believe there's no God, there's no identity, there's no meaning and purpose in life, and no truth. So this is what we're up against. And that makes grieving very, 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 very difficult for people. And perfect message. It's perfect for all of us to be teaching. Do you know what I'm saying? Because this is what, those are some of the basic pillars of Christianity, that we have a God who is God of all gods, Lord of all lords, who is so powerful, and he chooses to be in relationship with us. And he tells us who we are and what we're here for, and gives us all purpose and meaning. And his truth is absolute truth. It's the truth you bank on. So, oh, we lost her. I wonder if her thing died. We may have killed her battery. But but you know what I'm saying? That helps to really unpack. And I think the culture never hears that enough. So right. Not trying to overtake, but I'm just trying to affirm that leaning is strong. So let me ask you, on your ideas, where do you want to take them? Where do you feel like God's leading you to take your ideas?
So in the last couple of weeks, as I've been, you know, thinking about websites and, you know, articles, so I got to look into this blogging thing, and I'm thinking about, okay, you know, there needs to be some consistency and, you know, I am moving from a full-time during tax season, part-time rest of the year job to a full-time all the time. And yet outside of the tax season, there's some flexibility and, you know, for sure 2 days off a month, just because of how the accounting office works. It's amazing. It's a new different kind of thing. So, you know, time crunches a little bit, but as far as getting word out in my audience, you know, some word of mouth and even business cards for friends to pass on, and Facebook group. And so somehow to get the word out, I'm struggling some because up to this point, it's been face-to-face or email or, you know, Facebook Messenger chats. because it is, grief can be an intimate thing. And so even the having a Facebook discussion group can be a little scary. Of course, I know you can do closed groups too, but
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm having a hard time fleshing out a mentoring thing because it's so personal and intimate. And yet I do believe God can help me develop articles for the different stages of, you know, that the initial grief process of, you know, the things that normally do happen in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, on the website, getting out, you know, all these different things I've been through in my life. And so speaking hope through God's word to, you know, depression and the sexual abuse survivors and you know, walking through financial difficulties and there's so many things. So it's kind of so big. I'm having a hard time.
I kind of like going with the hope for the hurting, you know, or something along that
hearts,
line.
Right. And hearts full of hope is.
Hearts full of hope is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Hearts full
of hope. And that's right. That's going to be, God gave me that a couple weeks ago.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it doesn't put a lid or a limit.
Exactly.
And I love it because grief in a lot of different spaces comes uh-huh. with, you know, all different things that we go through, whatever that may be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love the hearts full of hope. I think that's got a power to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't put a lid. I would always caution any lids or limits that things put on you.
Right.
It's kind of like Mandy, yeah. her, you know, fierce feminine and following God, man, there's no limit to that. No limit.
Right.
No limit.
Right.
That's why I think I'm on the book.
Uh-huh. Funny thing, in one of those revival services last weekend, somebody came behind me, laid hands on me behind me, so not in my face, and said, no lids, no limits.
No lies, no lids, no limits. You'll see me writing on this a little bit. I may even do like a 5-day, you know, or a series on it. For my YouTube and lives. I've been thinking along that line. I've got a topic coming up that I forget what the topic was, but that's basically my points is no lies, lids, limits, because that's exactly, the enemy wants us in that place, you know? So anyway, I do love that both of your topics don't put lids on you. They actually, I think, take you down a path to developing different products, developing your message, taking that idea. And I would say the next step is that idea becomes a message and that message becomes your ministry and that ministry becomes your movement. So I believe that God is wanting those things to take people from the pain to their promise. Those are the steps. So when you were gone, Mandy, she was talking about like her topic being hearts full of hope. And that kind of covers all of the grieving or all the pain, being a survivor, more than a survivor, a thriver.
Yeah, you know, I saw something and I need to stop using that word. I did read, I think it's in the Ann Voskamp book that I'm reading right now, that yeah, no, survive is not... That's the person whose their house has just been destroyed and they're standing there in the hopelessness. They survived.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's a key word.
And I've got to change that language.
But it's a good key word because that may be like, I'm just surviving. You know what I mean? That might be a good topic. I'm just surviving, you know, and helping them.
Yeah.
Mandy, do you want to, pour anything out into Janelle and help her? She was talking about, I'm just trying to recap, like all the different things, like putting things into position, like her blogging, her like having a Facebook group. And I think Facebook groups, because you can set them private, and I would definitely set them private. You can ask questions that can help you to know if people are truly real, and it gives them some privacy to what they say. And of course, some may not say things in the group that they might would say if they were in a private session with you, a private ministry session, but that's even where you could even offer them some private ministry sessions.
Oh, that's, yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lucy, with what I'm seeing as your target audience being widows in particular, that private counseling with someone who's been there, done that, and is moving on, that mentoring. I think another thing that's kind of been hitting me lately, the way that I mentor my kids is not, okay, let's sit down and have a Bible study. It's the day-to-day living. It's the coming alongside. It's the taking them to a birthday party, celebrating their birthday. It's the little things that build that familiarity and that comfort to then allow them to open up and to come and say, hey, so-and-so said this. What does that mean? And I think, you know, you have to build community. It's more than the deep stuff. You have to kind of start and filter down. So I would say, and I missed my internet cut out, so Cindy may have already said this, but I would see a Facebook group maybe too big, but it may be a good surface area to start, and then having smaller groups off of that could be hosted in a Zoom room or one-on-one, or even small groups, having like a small support group that's online.
I did mention the same numbers,
so that they are not too huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And going back to the identity discussion, identity is across every demographic.
Yes.
We all want to know who we are. And even though God spells it out in the Bible, most of us still don't know. And even when we read it, we still don't grasp it the first time. And it changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even, you know, I'm looking at young moms and teens, and I remember I'm a very different person now than I was before I had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting there and wishing that I had someone who would say, you know what, you still like to take pictures. Let me watch your kid for you so we can go do that. And I especially when you're talking about young widows, sometimes it's coming alongside and saying, let me take care of your kids so you can go get your annual exam or, you know, whatever it is that they're needing to do. Right. Just coming alongside and meeting needs. Mm-hmm. Beyond the emotional, sometimes that opens the door to those things. I've been thinking as well, trying to figure out, like, how does walking dogs correlate with having a ministry? Well, in the last month, I have had two clients be told they have to quarantine because they've either been exposed or infected with COVID-19. I have had two other clients diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, in some cases it's I need my dog because they're my emotional support, but I can't walk them anymore because I'm going through chemo. And I remember one of my very first clients, he was moving into assisted living and he had two dogs and he couldn't control them to take them out to go to the bathroom anymore. I was literally in this man's room twice a day taking his dogs out.
Oh wow.
And it was almost like I got another grandfather out of the deal. You know, and then when he wound up having to move and stuff because of the dogs, and he is in a panic, and you know, his two daughters were like, oh, I just can't deal with this, I have to work. And he's like, but who's gonna take care of my dogs? Because they had to come out of the room for a while. And I was like, okay, I know where they can go. And I could just take them. And I had that trust with him to meet that need. And then, I mean, you know, his daughters coming up afterwards when I got to deliver the dogs back to him in his new place. And they were just so grateful for that little bit of a need. So I would say look for the little needs where they need the help to open the door to that community.
Right.
because I think trying to go broad, like a Facebook group, you can set a Facebook group to private, but Facebook still has every bit of data that you put on it.
True.
Yes. And computers are never 100% secure. And so you may want to eventually use that to draw people in and then take it offline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I've heard some talking over the last few days about funnel, you know, and so to get people have access to me, and then to draw them into here's our private venue.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
There are things about grief that are so intimate that, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Totally.
Absolutely.
I love it. See, I love the feedback. That's what I'm saying, even with my space, but it's yours as well. Remembering that I don't want the pressure of everything being on Cindy. It's not a pretty place. I don't like that. I feel like that there is a benefit to bringing people together and letting people minister and do what they do well with each other and the perspectives. So if there's ways to do that and just asking yourself, how can I build community? How can I, you know, be the church in my everyday life? I like that. Okay. Is everybody good with where we are right now? I want to pull this back together. So we're going to go to one more thing. And then this is my thought. I'm just going to throw this out to you guys. I want to teach this, but then I want to challenge you to then take your ideas and do something with it today. So what I want to do is I want to pick it back up another day where we come back and you guys share what you're doing, and we then take our next steps. Of course, we're going to do that really the next month. We're going to have our next steps, that are going to be like getting something ready for Black Friday. Surprise. So act surprised. But I want to pull this back together for us. So let me hop over here and let me stop this recording. See, it keeps doing this. There it is. I think it's because I keep moving things. Okay,